Hello, everyone. I'm Simone Smith, and this is Weekly Advice from Everyday Experts, a podcast from HubPages.com, in which we talk about really cool articles that show up on the site that we find to be particularly interesting or insightful or instructive. Today, I'm sitting next to James Edmondson, who, well, if you see anything on HubPages.com that you think looks good, you basically have him to thank. So, hey, James.
And if you see anything on HubPages that looks bad, you can probably blame Paul Deeds or someone else.
It's all their fault. Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted to talk to you guys today about a hub that really caught my interest.
Oh, really?
When Simone told me that I was going to be a guest correspondent on the podcast, I was very excited, obviously.
It's a high privilege, obviously.
And I was looking at the list of hubs, and then I stumbled onto a hub by Simone herself. I didn't know if it would be against the rules.
Oh.
But she said that we could take a look at her own hub, so big thanks to you, Simone.
Why, thank you, James. I mean, I figure if we all write on the site, even staff members could sometimes discuss hubs that they wrote.
Why not?
Yeah.
So anyways, you want to tell us the title of the hub? Because that's basically what sold me on the whole thing.
Okay, well, the title of the hub is How to Make People Uncomfortable.
So
it's a good skill.
Yeah. I'm wondering, though, because, you know, it's obviously, or when I was reading it, I thought, oh, this is obviously a joke, you know?
Oh.
But then I started thinking, wow, oh, how much of it is a joke? Because with every joke, you know, it's either based on something serious or it's a take on something serious. But the more I started reading this hub, the more it kind of felt pretty legitimate to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as I like to say as a general practice, 50% of each thing I say is entirely sincere, and 50% of each thing I say is entirely sarcastic.
Okay.
So, yes, the hub is a joke. And yes, the hub is an absolutely serious guide.
Yeah.
It's, because
it's both.
Yeah, I mean, well, making people uncomfortable is kind of funny, and talking about making people uncomfortable is kind of funny, but I also kind of like to watch people squirm, so.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit.
Ooh, yeah.
Why is it, what, you know, gets you excited about watching people be uncomfortable?
Mostly because the things that make them uncomfortable are pretty arbitrary.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not talking about doing anything in this case. I mean, obviously, you can make people uncomfortable by, you know, putting a gun to their head. But I'm not talking about anything that makes people in danger. I'm just talking about weird, random stuff.
Little things.
Little things. It doesn't take that much. And so it's funny to see how susceptible we are or how weak we are to things that freak us out.
So before we go any further with this, I just want to point out that right now Simone and I are recording this podcast into a little 2x2x2 foot cube of sound foam.
I would call it a fort of awesomeness with a gray color, and it's soft.
So at any rate, one of the things you talked about in your article is standing too close to each other.
Absolutely.
Or invading personal space.
How do something. You feel right now, James?
I feel okay.
Yeah?
I mean,
you sure?
I felt better.
Uh-huh.
I feel slightly uncomfortable
Good.
Right now. But
Good.
How do you feel?
I feel perfectly comfortable.
Is that 100% true, though? Because you talked about in the article the things that you do to make other people uncomfortable really make you uncomfortable too.
Yeah, that's also true. Well, okay, I have to say though that me as an author or as a unique person, pretty much everything makes me uncomfortable. So whether I'm falling out of a plane or sitting in a room, I'm probably going to be equally terrified.
Really?
Yeah.
You're constantly uncomfortable.
Oh, God, yeah. So, I mean, this is just, you know, your regular terror. So for me, it's easy to talk about making people uncomfortable because, you know, while they might find this to be a unique situation, for me, I'm just like, yeah, this is just a different type.
Constantly uncomfortable.
Constantly.
Okay.
Well, I want to talk about one of the key things before we even go into specific tactics.
Lay it on me, Simone.
You can't take yourself seriously.
Yeah, well, I was actually just about to touch on that because that was one of my favorite paragraphs in the whole thing. I'll read it for you guys because I think it's so good. People put way too much stock in their lives and reputations, so much so that they are unable to take the risks necessary to actually build a reputation worth defending.
It's true.
Could you explain that a little further, Simone?
Well, everyone's trying too hard to play it safe and be popular and to be liked. And when it comes down to it, the people that we remember in history weren't really out to do that.
Ah, yes. Yeah. What is the quote? Well-behaved women rarely make history or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. There's so many quotes, like unreasonable people being the ones that change the world, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So you want to embrace that.
Yeah, go for it. Do something weird. Be different. Take risks.
And to the people that are scared of doing that, they're not really going to do anything that cool.
They'll just have mediocre, slightly happy lives, be unfulfilled.
So then making people uncomfortable is kind of a way of putting yourself in the mindset of being more okay with being weird.
Absolutely. So it's not even really about messing with other people so much as it's about personal growth. Bam!
Oh, wow. There it is.
Yeah.
That's the whole crux.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm kind of impressed we got to it so soon, Simone, but let's keep talking about it.
Well, because we haven't even talked about the really fun part, which is all the different things you can do.
Yeah.
To make, and I only outlined some of them. I mean, really, there's so much more out there. You can do pretty much, there's an unending list.
So you talked about, face tattoos and
facial tattoos are
saline
big.
Injections.
Have
in
you
your
seen
face.
Those, James?
I think I have.
Yeah. To those of you who are not familiar with the various things you can do to your face that are actually quite temporary.
Right.
Although facial tattoos, I guess, if you're not getting a temporary one, are pretty permanent.
Yeah.
But you can. Tattoo. They have these things called. Well, they're basically injections of saline that you can put into your face and that basically inflate parts of it so that you have maybe what looks like a giant donut injected into your head.
Yeah, I've seen things where it looks like people are like aliens, like they have horn kind of gross.
Totally. And I mean, think about how uncomfortable that would make someone. It's pretty...
Well, it would make you yourself pretty uncomfortable getting the actual injection in your face of saline.
That's true. That's true.
So you're on the street, hypothetically, you see a guy with saline injections in his face. What goes through your mind?
Well, I mean, I would first think, oh my God, that's so cool.
So cool.
But, I mean, if they started talking to me, I mean, even if you were entirely cool with saline injections or weird piercings or very intimidating tattoos, you might still be uncomfortable because you're worried about asking about it or staring or any sort of...
Yeah, my thought with that sort of thing is the intention is to get people to stare at it. So I don't really feel bad when I stare at it.
Oh, I do.
You feel bad?
Oh, yeah. I feel totally uncomfortable.
Well, why?
Because all I can do is... they say it's impolite to stare. I know that they're meant to, but... I still appreciate
so, it. So that's a whole other interesting point with this. You say it's impolite to stare.
Right.
But you just wrote this whole article.
Yeah.
With the point of making people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So your intention is not to be impolite.
Okay, yes. Yes, that's true. That's true.
I wanted to read another sentence that I thought was interesting. You say, not wishing to make light of what for some is not controllable, I must still point out that developing a fake tick can freak people out, especially once you have people convinced that it is a precursor to violent action.
This is very true.
So you talked about how developing fake ticks is a great way of making people uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
But you don't want to make fun of people with, like, Tourette's or something legitimate.
Very true.
So... you're kind of like walking this fine line of being polite and respectful.
Yeah.
And not wanting to offend anyone.
And making people very uncomfortable and offended.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Yeah. But that's the fun line to walk. They say, James, that if you're not living at the edge, you're taking up too much room.
Yeah, I read that as well, I think.
I'm really trying.
That was a separate hub, though. Oh, okay. So you also talked about the clothing.
Clothing is huge.
Yeah, clothing is huge.
And the great thing about clothing is that you don't necessarily have to dress in a very strange or aggressive way to freak people out with your clothing. I know a lot of people that are pretty intimidated by someone just wearing a suit or like preppy clothing.
Yeah, you say people, both those things. Yeah. That kind of caught me off guard because that seemed like very inoffensive stuff, but it just depends on the situation.
It depends. Well, and it depends on the subculture of your victim.
Ah, yes.
Because, you know, I mean, if you're working with someone who is totally afraid of the establishment or something, it's gonna, you know, or what if someone has father issues and their father always wore a suit? I mean, he's not gonna like guys in suits. Maybe he's a punk and, like, or he's super gothic and people in suits have always been a total drag.
Exactly.
He's not gonna be comfortable around them, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, I mean, there's also the issue of, like, okay, if you read my hubs on Hub Pages, I write a lot of hubs about short skirts because I just went through a short skirt hubbing phase.
So I read one of your hubs on short skirts you say if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space.
And that's, well, in my experience of wearing short skirts, which is another article of clothing that that half of the human population will regularly don or can regularly don. It makes people really uncomfortable.
It does.
People like will walk up to me and they'll be like, "You should pull down that skirt," you know, and like,
really?
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
Strangers stop you.
Yeah, because it makes them uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable that they're that they take action and tell you to do something.
Yeah, and I mean probably because I also look terrible sometimes, but there's still something to be said for like people's, you know, maybe it's a religious thing, or and it's probably bad for me to be offending people's religious beliefs or their idea of what modesty is, but it still makes people uncomfortable. So keep it in mind if you want to mess with people.
So what is your response when someone tells you something like that? It is a direct attack on your choice.
Well, from my perspective, I always smile and laugh because that's what I do when I'm intimidated by people. But I also consider it to be a victory, right? Because you've just made them uncomfortable.
But then this person that you've just made uncomfortable, you're not going to interact with them again.
No. No.
But the simple act of making them uncomfortable is victory in itself.
It is, yeah. Well, I mean, it can almost be like a game, you know, when you're walking down the street, playing chicken with people, you know, they're walking. You're walking straight in front of them. Uh-huh. You're going to see who's going to swerve. That's one fun thing you can do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just about making life a little bit less boring.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and that's another good aspect of making people uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
It's just, you got to spice it up.
You got to keep yourself engaged.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just, you know, you don't even have to go so far as to wear strange clothing or do very, very strange things. It can be as simple as a facial expression, though.
One of my favorites that you talked about is hugging for a bit too long.
Oh, my God.
That's something.
Has anyone, you know?
Well, I do it.
You do?
I do it on
purpose.
You're
a long hugger.
Because as I was reading this hub, I was like, I'm not really the type of person that would take joy in making people uncomfortable. But when I came to the long hugging thing, I thought, oh, I kind of do like to do the long hugging because it's so subtle and it's a very, very minor thing on your end.
Yeah. And
there's nothing easier.
Yeah.
But the person does start to panic and you can literally feel it when it happens.
Isn't it the greatest?
I mean, I don't know about the greatest. But it is an interesting little thing.
Yeah. No, I knew someone who didn't do long hugs, but he did really, really, like, tight hugs. And everyone knew him for that. And you knew when he went reaching for you, you were like, oh, my God, I'm about to.
Don't crush me.
Yeah. No, he was like the boa constrictor. Everyone knew him for those. They were just always so inappropriate.
I like the long hug. The tight hug sounds interesting.
Oh, it totally
also
is.
Also a fan of the really short hug. Just a...
Oh, yeah.
Just a clench up and then immediately let go.
Yeah.
That can freak people out too.
Yeah, and that's just, I mean, it's a simple greeting.
Uh-huh. I'm a really tall guy, so people often put their arms under my arms when I go for the hug.
Oh.
So sometimes I surprise them there too and come down to their level.
Oh my God.
Scoop them up a little bit.
No, that's a good move.
That's a fun one.
Great way to leverage your height, James. Excellent.
It's about using what God gives you.
It really is.
To maximize the other person's, minimize their comfort, I should say.
Yes, yes, to maximize discomfort.
Okay, and another interesting thing I wanted to bring up was where you say those most skilled at making others uncomfortable do so without letting the victims realize that the discomfort is being caused by just one person.
Yeah. So, I mean, it really helps if you're able to affect the ambience of a situation instead of just messing with them directly. It's sort of like when they know that you're trying to make them uncomfortable, your pursuit is feckless. You can't do anything when they know you're gaming them.
Right.
So how do you...
Because the gig is up.
Yeah. It's a subtle thing.
You can go for their subconscious and do the little things,
yeah,
and they add up over time,
yeah,
then they have no idea where it's coming from.
Makes a huge difference.
And they can't point out any one weirdo in the group that's responsible for this.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and it can be as simple as steering the conversation in a certain direction or messing with the temperature in a room or...
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, or messing... Especially things like facial expression and body posture can make a big difference too, because people tend to mirror those types of things. So if you're sitting a certain way, people are more likely to assume that posture if they're agreeing with you. There are amazing things that you can do to influence the mood of an entire room.
For instance, Simone, you're sitting, you always have very good posture.
Oh, why, thank you, James.
Whereas I take more of a Larry King stance.
Larry King stance. Oh, God.
So that would mean
you're
that
kinda,
I'm...
You're like that right now.
I know, my sleeves are even rolled up.
Oh, my God. Oh, you're freaking me out.
So that means I'm disagreeing with you? Is that like a subconscious thing?
Well, it could also be just because we're kind of tucked inside this podcasting tent right now.
That should not be overlooked, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. There's always the functionality issue.
Okay, but one thing I did want to ask you about affecting the ambiance of a room rather than just attacking one person, is that a better way to influence the room in a positive way?
Oh, definitely. All of these tactics that can be used for evil can be equally used for good.
So by changing the temperature in a room to a more desirable temperature,
you can make everyone more comfortable.
But the point of making, of affecting the ambiance of a room in a positive way might be better or have more of an impact than just being one positive source in a group?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because I'm sure we've all been around those types of people that are very smiley and very gregarious.
Yes.
And
yes.
Are that sort of one person in the room that's like that. And it's almost like it's a little too much. It's
yeah.
Like,
well, and I mean, the best thing is averages. We love averages as humans. We love symmetry.
Interesting.
We love equilibrium. And even if you're being a super, super positive force in a room, if you're way outside the norm, it's going to mess with everyone. It's going to make things seem abnormal or strained.
Uh-huh.
So it's better to just, you know, kick it down a notch. But that said, being outside the norm is going to make people uncomfortable.
Right.
So if you want to make people uncomfortable, go for that.
If you want to make people be uncomfortable, you could just be super, super positive and be that one weird person
who's
totally over the top.
Oh, yeah.
So what are some positive things that could come from, besides being more comfortable in your own skin, etc., what's a situation where you could really use this to your advantage?
Well, sometimes you just want people to leave you alone.
Interesting.
Yeah, and one of the best ways to do that is to make yourself seem more undesirable. And so, by behaving strangely or looking intimidating or looking weird or smelling weird, you can do a pretty good job at that. Making people uncomfortable is also one of the most commonly used tactics of exercising power over other people.
Mm.
If you want to scare them, intimidate them, make them feel in awe of you, typically you're making them feel uncomfortable. Like, have you ever sat next to like a famous person or met someone who's really famous before?
Yeah, I've sat next to a famous person.
Did you feel really, really comfortable when that happened?
I didn't feel super comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Who was the famous person?
I was at a music festival. God, who was the guy in Transformers?
Oh my God, him?
Yeah, what's his name?
It's not Shia LaBeouf
yes,
or whatever?
Yes, him.
Ah, that's weird.
Yeah, because I was there, and my friend was eating an ice cream sandwich, and it was really, really hot, and it was dripping all down her face. And she turns around slowly.
With ice cream on her face?
Yeah, and there's the movie star, Shia LaBeouf, looking right at her.
Oh, no.
And he says, I remember this vividly, he says, ha, nice. And then she is just paralyzed with fear in that moment, and the ice cream continues to drip down her face. And she just slowly turns around with a look of horror.
That is beautiful.
She felt extremely uncomfortable.
Wow.
Shia, not so much, probably.
But hey, I mean, he was exercising power in that
situation. Yeah,
exactly.
He was
making her very uncomfortable.
Which is no good. I think Shia should have gone another route there, personally.
Oh.
He's got enough clout on his own, you know? He doesn't
Maybe.
Need to go around making poor girls feel embarrassed about the ice cream dripping down their face.
I know, because that should be an endearing aspect.
It should be.
It should be. Oh.
So when the person stops you to tell you that your skirt is too short, I'm thinking of a number of things you could do in that situation to that person to freak them out and exert some dominance.
Yeah.
For instance, say, okay, and then pull your skirt up higher.
Oh,
making them more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You could also just hiss at them like a cat, like a scared cat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That could be good.
Yeah.
You could also pretend you don't know English.
I've tried that. The problem with living in our wonderful metropolitan city is that we get a lot of multilingual people. So sometimes I just use my scary face.
Ah, yeah.
Everyone has
scary
one.
Face.
Everyone has one. I mentioned those in the article, and they're a key to making people. They're really fast. Everyone has one. All you have to do is contort your face into. Well, everyone's is different. It takes different. Oh my God.
Was that it?
Do it again. Do it again. James just did his scary face. Well, I can show James mine. Oh my God! He does this weird thing with his eyebrows. Too bad you guys can't see it. Let's see what he thinks of mine.
Okay.
I'm getting it ready. It just takes a while.
Okay, go.
So.
Jeez.
It's really freaky. I do this thing with my eyeballs and I smile.
Oh, I wish it were down.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was my scary face. I use it a lot, and it's hard for people
really
to keep
bad.
A straight face. Yeah, he's like twisting in his chair.
Ugh.
So you can use that too. So basically, all you have to do is think of something really weird and make your face feel as uncomfortable as possible. And if you just pull that on someone, if they approach you on the streets and you want them to go away, that's faster than speaking another language or swearing at them even. Just doing that face and not saying anything. It's also a great self-defense tactic.
And the trick is sustain.
You
not
have to
change
sustain.
Your
yeah,
face.
Yeah, you have to be able to hold it, and that's the key. And like the hard thing about my scary face is it's best if I don't blink.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's all about the...
As is the case with most scary faces.
Yeah, it's true. But, these scary faces have a long and illustrious history. Think about the Maori people who do their like crazy like tongue thing.
Oh, yeah, that's mentioned
it's
in the article.
It's all about like doing... Yeah, I mean, like it's... It's been used as a weapon and as a general tactic of intimidation. Think about samurai masks. I mentioned those too, and those are huge. They're so scary.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so use those for inspiration. But
now, the question I kind of wanted to end with, is this a good time?
Yes, this is a great time.
Okay. Is this sort of article on HubPages something that we should see more of?
I should hope so.
You hope so.
Well, see, the problem is that with all online articles, so many people like to write about the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like how to lose weight and, you know, how to find your true love and how to make healthy, low-fat recipes and, you know, how to get strong. And
Which are valuable
they're
things.
They're totally valuable things.
Audience.
And there, a lot of people are looking for that kind of information online. But... Surprisingly, I do keyword research and I check to see if people are searching for the things that I write about.
Uh-huh.
And there was a significant number of people every month who search for guides on how to make people uncomfortable.
Really?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So, you know what? There are some key issues out there. You know, you have to stop thinking about what everyone tells you to do and what you want to do. So I think there should be many more articles like this. So hey, experts on Hub Pages or writers in general, I challenge you
to get a little creative.
Totally.
With what you write, with the topics.
Exactly. Yeah. Jinx.
Jinx.
So again, you should write those things, and you can for free on Hub Pages, because we are a site where anyone can come and join and easily publish articles on anything ranging from how to dry clean your cat to, you know, how to create a pipe bomb. Well, probably not that, because it's illegal.
No, we shouldn't encourage that.
Yeah, but I mean, you can pretty much write on anything, and it's great. You can put in videos, tables, and all sorts of other things to make your articles even more useful. So we hope that you consider joining Hub Pages and writing something alternative.
Okay, it's been a pleasure on the podcast.
Thank you so much for joining me, James.
All right, hope I can do it again.